Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
One of those weeks, just one of those weeks. Well, it's just been one of those weeks for me this week, but God is gracious and God is merciful and God's loving kindness is greater than life. You know, the circumstances of life can get us down, they can weigh us down, but His loving kindness is greater. I had an outline, but I don't know if we're going down that road, so I'm just going to try the spirits and see where the Lord wants to take us. I don't want to just preconceive anything. If God wants to change our direction tonight, then He has that right and that power to do so. I will allow Him to change the direction and the order of this service because it's all about Him anyway. It's not about us. It's about us surrendering to Him, us living for Him, us dying to self that we might live unto God. Yes, we're small in number, but it makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. Some of the greatest miracles happen when you have the fewest people, because the fewest people that are left are those that want to see God move, those that are hungry to see a manifestation of the Spirit of God. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. But see, it was a place where He was broken. It was a place where He had a brokenness. It was in the year King Uzziah died. It was a broken place. And sometimes in our broken places, in our brokenness, is where we find the absolute power and grace of God. God does not look for the strong man. God does not look for the mighty man. He chooses the weak and beggarly elements of this world, and He confounds the wisdom of the wise. He confounds the wisdom of the wise. Men try to be strong. Women, we try to come with a facade, with a front that everything's okay. But there are many, many times, many, many occasions that we are broken on the inside. We're broken because of circumstances in our life that plague us. We're broken because they're unsaved loved ones that we want to see, that see saved, that have not yet been seen. But it's in that brokenness that God wants to come to you and rescue you and heal you. And just, it's in brokenness, my brother and sister. He that has a broken spirit and a contrite heart, God's not going to refuse. God's not going to deny. Whosoever will, let him come. Draw nigh to God, and He's going to draw nigh to you tonight. Praise God. We appear to be strong. Believe you me, I am not strong in myself. Believe you me, I have my shortcomings and I have my failures, but I have a God that is gracious. I have a God that is merciful. I have a God that comes with His everlasting arms wrap around you and me because He loves us. He loves us. He's not coming to condemn us. He will come to us and He will correct us. He will chastise us if need be, but He does it out of such a love because He wants us to stay close to the Father. He wants us to stay close to the Father. I'm just going to leave my Bible there because I had something going around my spirit at home, but I don't believe that's where the Lord wants us to go tonight. I was just going to talk about the last days because we're living in some perilous times, but God's kind of revamped some things. You know, there's such a sweet spirit in this place. Such a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And if God can get what's on the inside of us out of us. See, the Bible says God is love. He has power, but He is love. So there's love living on the inside of each and every one of us. There's love for the damned, the lost, and the dying. There's love for one another in this place. And God wants to get that love that's on the inside of us out of us. God, see, we miss grace. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and we look for power, and we miss the grace of God. See, we look at the scripture where Jairus in the Gospel of Mark in the 5th chapter, we look at Jairus. His daughter's dead. She's dying. And he comes to Jesus, and he says, My daughter lieth sick. Will you come? And Jesus is coming. And we look to the power, and we look to her being raised from the dead, but we miss the fact that when Jesus is walking down that dusty road, we miss the fact that grace is coming down that road. We miss the fact that healing is coming down that road. We miss the fact that His grace is walking. The Bible says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We miss the grace and truth because we look too much to the power. Too many times in the body of Christ, we look at the power. gotten. We've made power an idol. We've made power. We look to power instead of, the Bible says, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look to other things, but we don't look to Jesus. When Jesus shows up, He's always got an answer. He's always got a solution. When the man, Jesus, shows up, when we look to Jesus, everything that we need is going to be fulfilled. Every desire that we have is going to be met when Jesus shows up on the scene. It doesn't matter if your marriage seems dead, He can make it come alive again. It just does not matter with Jesus. He's the resurrector. Glory be to God. And there's a lot of times we look at that resurrection power and He has it, but He also has grace. He also has mercy. And if it had not been for mercy and grace searching us out, we would not be here, my brother and sister. If it wasn't for grace, we would not be here. We would not be here if it had not been for the grace of God. There go I. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Shall we sin? God forbid. Shall we sin because of grace? God forbid, but grace is there because we live in a faulty body. We live in a failing world. We live in an emotional world where our emotions are tossed. They're torn. They're pulled. They're every which way we go, they're pulled on. But God's grace is sufficient. The grace that He gives us is sufficient. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. God has power, but thank God for His grace, because without the grace, you would not be able to flow in the power of God. You would not be able to flow in the gifts of the Spirit if we did not have grace. If we lived in the law, if we lived in the Old Testament, we would not be able to come into the Holy of Holies. Thank God for grace. If we lived in the Old Testament, some of our children would be stoned to death. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. Because that's what they did in the Old Covenant. That's what they did under the law. But see, the law was abolished when Jesus came. The law was abolished when He died on the cross. It was abolished. The middle wall of partition was torn down. And now we can enter into the Holy of Holies behind the veil because of grace. Because of what He did on the cross. What He did on that tree. Glory to God. I'm telling you, it's grace, my brother and sister. Yes, God has power, but it's the grace of God that makes you what you are today. If it's the grace of God that you haven't lost your mind or gone insane, it's because of the grace of God that you have peace tonight. It's because of His grace and His goodness. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Grace and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, my brother and sister. Oh, see, this is a grace thing. Yes, God has power, but my God, He also has grace. I'm not talking about a cheap grace. The kind of grace I'm talking about makes you want to draw closer to God because you know that you're nothing without Him. You know that you're nothing and you can do nothing without Him. That you can't make it without the grace of God because you're flawed. Your shortcomings are going to stumble you up. They're going to trip you up, but God's grace is sufficient. You're going to fall flat on your face from time to time, but God's grace is sufficient. God's grace, I can't get away from it. God's grace is sufficient. We think that we're, and we should be strong in the Lord and the power of His mind, but too many times we try to be strong in our own self, in our own wisdom, instead of the wisdom that comes from above. See, we got to have that wisdom that comes from above, not the wisdom that comes from beneath, which is earthly, foolish, and devilish. Too many times we look back down to Egypt and we look to those things that we should not be looking for. We don't run to God. We don't look to God because we don't want to wait on the Lord. We're in a quick fix society. We're in a microwave generation and we want God to work right now, and God will work right now. But there's things that God wants to teach you, and He will give you the grace to walk through valleys. He will give you the grace to walk through all the circumstances of life that you need to go through. He will give you that grace. He will give you that grace. Grace to live. Grace to die if need be. They had it in the early church. Grace. Grace, grace, grace. Hallelujah. I'm just going to share this. It's just a little pun intended. But there was a man named John who owned a barber shop. And he shaved this gentleman every week. He shaved this gentleman, gave this gentleman a haircut. Well, John had to go to the doctor, and his wife Grace came in, and And she had the filling for John, and Grace is filling in, and Grace is filling in. And some of you are going to laugh at this, some of you ain't, but hey, it's okay. You know, Grace is cutting the man, John's cutting this gentleman's hair, and she shaves him, and he goes on his way and comes back the next week, and there's no stubble, there's no nothing, and a second week goes by and there's no stubble and there's nothing. It's don't need no haircut, don't need nothing. And finally the fourth week comes back and he goes, you know, there's no stubble. I don't know what your wife did, but there's no stubble. I don't have to shave because once shaved, always shaved. You'll get that. Some of y'all will get that later. Some of y'all will get that later, but I heard that one early morning. I liked it because it was kind of funny. But, you know, but hey, you know, I'm just happy in Jesus. I'm just happy that His grace is sufficient, but that doesn't mean we use it to go out and sin. That doesn't mean we use it to just live any old way we want to live. Glory be to God. But we use it for when we need to use it. We use it to draw close to God. We use it because God loves us. You know, we don't walk in sin to fulfill it in the lust thereof because of grace. The Bible says in Hebrews, he that sins habitually will not inherit the kingdom of God. Can't go out and sin willfully knowing. You know, the proverb will come true. The dog is returned to his vomit. You know, the proverb, oh, my God in heaven. We have seen the proverb in with our own eyes of that scripture being fulfilled because people have chose sin over the gospel and over Jesus because there was something that happened on the inside of them. They were looking for fulfillment. They were looking for love. They were looking for joy outside the kingdom, outside the cross. And it can only be found at the cross. When we get away from the cross, we get into trouble. We get into dry places. We get into places that we ought not be when we get away from this cross. Jesus said, if any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And it's at that cross where we have safety and stability. It's kneeling at the foot of that cross that everything else does not matter when we're sitting at that cross. We're on our knees at that cross because we see only him. We don't see all the peripheral. We don't see our brother to the right or our sister to the left or our uncle, our aunt. We only see Jesus. And it's at that place we're the safest because we're looking to Jesus. We're looking to Jesus. I'm not asking if you came to be, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? I didn't ask you if you came to be popular. I'm not trying to be popular. I just want to do and fill in where the God wants us to fill in. And I believe that we need to keep these doors open. And I believe because of grace, we need, you know, we want to see revival. I believe we need to be adding services, not taking them away. Because grace is sufficient and God will give us the grace. I know we're going to get tired, but hey, we all talk about revival. We want revival, but we don't want to pay the price for revival. We don't want to come down here on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night or a Thursday night and have a service and open the doors and just see if anybody will come off the street because we don't understand grace. We don't understand that He'll strengthen us with all might in the inward man. See, I know we get bone tired, but there is a might that comes from the inside that will strengthen you, that will sustain you. I've tasted of it. I remember doing youth and having to get up and go to work till about 10 o'clock in the morning. My hours were up, thank God. And I would go down to the church and I would seek God and I would say, Lord, Your word declares that You would strengthen me with all might in the inward man. And that strength, it's a strength that you cannot get from your mother. It's a strength that you cannot get from your father. It's a strength you can't get from your wife, your husband, or anybody else. It only comes from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And it's because His grace is sufficient. See, it all ties hand in hand. It all works and fits like a glove. See, we have grace and we have truth and we have the power and the gifts of the Spirit. But those powers and gifts of the Spirit won't work without grace. Because you're flawed, you're going to make mistakes, and you are not perfect, and you are not Jesus. And a lot of times we're not even mature in Christ yet. We're working to that goal, but we're not there yet. We strive to want to be like Jesus, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet. See, this is a race, my brother and sister, and we've got to endure till the end. We've got to endure till the end, the Scripture says. We're living in a day where we need to wake up and we need to look around and we need to ask ourselves, are we really hearing what God wants to say to us? Are we really hearing what the Spirit should be saying to the church this day? And if not, we should just turn off the television from those ministers. Not to be mean or to be cruel, but I want to hear from heaven. I want to hear from God. I don't want to hear my ears tickled. I don't want my flesh to be tickled. Don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I need to hear. Tell me what I need to hear. Tell me if I need to get right with God. We need some Jonathans. Glory be to God. We need some prophets today that will stand up and point the finger in the face if need be and say, "Thou art the man." God is going to restore the prophetic. You mark my words. God is going to restore the prophetic. God is going to, people are going to prophesy over situations and over things, and you're going to see things come to pass that are going to shock your socks off, because God is going to restore His prophetic ministry. It hasn't gone nowhere. It's just not being used because no one's standing up and using it. It has not gone anyway. It's always been there. God's always had a people. And God is saying to His people, you know, we've looked in the Scriptures, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And God is saying today, where are the Elijahs of my kingdom? Where are the men and women that are going to stand between the porch and the altar and grab a hold of the horns of the altars and seek His face and pray and see God move? Where are those people that are going to lay hold on the altar and turn off the television and just lay hold on the horns of the altar until He come and rain righteousness? And you see, we don't want to wait for Him to come and rain righteousness in it, because we live in that modern world today that we've got to have it right now. We don't have time to wait in His presence, because we don't understand that waiting in His presence will bring fullness of joy. When we wait in His presence, we'll understand the perfect plan and the will that God has for us to do when we wait in His presence. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. And in His presence, there is pleasures forevermore. But in His presence, there is a place. There is a place of security. There is a place of sanctity. There is a place that God wants to take us that we just don't understand yet. God wants to take us to that place. He wants to take us to the outer courts. He wants to take us behind the veil. He wants to take us into the Holy of Holies, where we can be changed. Where we can be changed. Where we come out of that place and people know that we have been with Jesus. People will know that we've been with God the Father. People will know that we've been in the presence of the King. And it's in that presence. You know, we don't need anything but to be in the presence of that King. All we need is favor from our King, my brother and sister. That is all we need. We don't need money. We don't need fame. We just need favor with our King. If He gives us that favor, there's nothing that will hinder. There's nothing that will... Yeah, there'll be hindrances, but there's nothing that will be able to stop you. God's grace is amazing. His love is amazing. We don't understand the breadth and the depth and the height of God's love. His love is amazing. I mean, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. While we were searching for some higher power being or whatever we were searching for, Christ still died for us. We're living in a day where anything goes in God's house. When His Word declares, "My house shall be a house of prayer," today we've still made it a den of thieves. We don't have the money changers, but we've got all the other ungodly paraphernalia that we let in God's house. And I'm just going to stand up and say it because God just told me to. We're living in a day where anything can go in the house of God, and it shouldn't. There's a time and a place for everything under heaven. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to cry. There's a time to seek God. And that time is now, my brother and sister. God wants us to seek Him. God wants us to seek Him. God wants us to find the time to seek Him. I mean, we find time to shop for the kids. We find time for everything else. But we don't find that time for Him. And this is where grace is going to come in. Because we come under condemnation when we don't find that time. And what God wants us to understand is His grace is sufficient. And He will woo us in to that time. And that's what He was doing this morning. He was wooing us all closer to Himself. Because He knows when we get in that presence, we want to spend that time with Him. When we get into His presence, we want to draw close and draw near to the Lord, because there's nothing else that moves us like the presence of God. There's nothing else to satisfy the deepest longings of our soul and heart like the presence of God. It's in His presence where we can find joy. It's in His presence that peace comes. It's in His presence that clear direction comes. It's in His presence, my brother and sister. Well, that's exactly what we need today, a clear direction from the hand of the Lord, clear direction from the Word of God, clear direction from God's chosen ministers. I did say God's chosen ministers because we are living in the last days. Perilous times are waxing worse and worse. Many are being deceived. The Bible says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We're living in that time right now, my brother and sister. Any man that tells us that we could go live any way we want to and live any way we want to and still go to heaven is a doctrine of a devil. We can't live any way we want to and expect to get to heaven. I had an uncle that died. I don't know if he went to heaven. I'm not even going to speculate he went to heaven because his lifestyle was that he did not go to heaven. And it was Uncle Charles. My God, I hope he went to heaven, but I can't live on a whim. I can't live on a prayer that he did because his lifestyle was not that of a Christian, was not that of a godly man. I hope he had the time to repent. I hope because he had a godly mother and father. But I hope that he had the time. I don't know and I won't know until I get to heaven. That's just me personally. I wish I could know, but I won't know. And neither will any of my other relatives. They would like to speculate. They would like to hope. I wish it would have woke some of my other relatives up because he died at a young age. He died at 45 or 48. That's young. That's young, my brother and sister. God is not mocked. That a man sows, he will also reap. God can't. And we want to take His grace and we want to play with it. And we want to come in and we want to go out and live any way we want to. And hey, you know, I know everybody. I hope I know everybody's heart in here that's here tonight. We all want to draw close to God and we all want to get closer to God. But there have been those that have come with us and they said they wanted to get closer to God. And they even come to prayer meetings and they even had fellowships with us and they even ate with us. But they didn't stay with us. They didn't remain with us. Why is that? Because the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And it's a horrible thing to see that. It's a horrible thing to see a man lead us in worship and turn his back on his faith, his family, and turn his back on God and just go out and sin. It's a horrible thing, but it's because of the last days, the last times. And I wish that we would have been had a little more discernment because if we had a little more discernment, we would have been able to pray and that God would have showed us what to pray for. That's why God is going to restore the prophetic, because we're living in the last of the last days. We're living in the days where Jesus is coming very, very soon. And when He comes, He's coming for that pure bride. He's coming for that bride that's washed herself with the blood of the Lamb. He's coming back for a bride that's without spot and without blemish. He's coming back for that clean bride. He's coming back for that virgin bride, my brother and sister. That has no longings for the world. Wants nothing to do with this world, but wants nothing to do but only for Him. And we should be saving ourselves for Him. We've got to have a home. We've got to drive a car. But we need just the basics. And my wife and I have been discussing some things that we need to get rid of. And she's argued with me. And I ain't telling on her. I'm just saying that God, when God impresses something on my heart, I believe we need to do it. And sometimes it takes our wives longer to understand and longer to see because they look more to the emotional. And God balances it. And we went into a service Friday night and God just had a sermon that was for me and her. And I looked at her and said, man, God knows how to defend his son. And she looked at me and just smiled. And it's just inside thing that my wife and I have together because she looks to me for answers and she looks to me for guidance and I've got to love her as Christ loved the church, and that's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy to live with me either. I'm saying it's not easy to love you as Christ loved the church because he loved the church and gave himself for the church freely, unselfishly. And there's a selfish part in me and each and every one of us. Thank you for the amen. We all have a selfish side of us. And God wants us to take that selfish side of us and put it on the altar and lay it there and leave it there so He can begin to change us. And we see that we're not selfish, that we're unselfish, that if we see a need, we meet that need, even though it may take shoes from our kids or may take gas from our cars, that we meet that need because we want to show God that we're unselfish. The Bible says, the life I live now, the life now that I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's no more I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. See, it's Christ that lives in you now. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. That price was the precious blood of Jesus. We cannot do our own thing. We cannot go heady and high-minded and stubborn. We cannot let stubbornness enter and say, I'm going to do my own thing, because the moment we do, we give place. The moment we do, something happens in the heart. The moment we do, we allow an inroad of the enemy to come, and our heart begins to get callous, and we grieve the Spirit of God. And when we go against the grieving of that Spirit, something begins to wane. Something begins to happen. It's like a knife that begins to get dull. You've got a sharp knife, and you can cut some things, but when that knife begins to get dull, and we begin to lose sensitivity to the Spirit of God, God sends His grace to woo us and to draw us back. God sends His mercy. Thank God He doesn't send judgments like He did in the Old Testament. Thank God He doesn't pull away the manna. Thank God He doesn't pull away the things that He's given us. But He comes in grace and He comes in mercy. Thank God we live in a new covenant, my brother and sister. Thank God for that new covenant. Thank God for that new covenant. We're living in a day there's a lot of people that fear what's going to happen next. I don't have that fear. Whatever happens, happens. If I'm at work and a bomb goes off, I'm going to heaven. I just don't have that fear. And we had some people that used to come here, and we were at my mom's house having a get-together fellowship, and I heard them speak up, and I admonished them in the Lord and tried, and they said, well, I'm fearful. I just don't know what's going to happen next. And I said, you know, brother, God wants to deliver us from that fear. And God wants to deliver us from that fear. You know, we shouldn't fear all the perplexities that are coming on the earth, because God is for us. And, hey, it wasn't a month later they left the church. Hey, I just speak the word. If people have a problem with the word, they ain't got a problem with me. I'm just a messenger. If God sends me, tells me to send you a letter, an email to encourage you, guess what? I'm going to do it. And if it encourages you, thank God. If you hate me and don't want to speak to me ever again, that's okay too, because I've come to the place in God that whatever God asks me to do, I'm going to do it, because I've got to please Him. I've got to please Him above everybody. And that's the place that God wants to bring us to. That we're going to please Him above everyone else and everything. Doesn't matter what people think of me in my job. Doesn't matter. They know I minister. My assistant produce manager came to me the other day and goes, I didn't know you was a minister. I don't brag. We were at that church Friday night and we had several people. I'm minister so-and-so. Big deal. I'm a son of God. I don't care if you're a minister. It doesn't matter. We're sons of God. We're all sons and daughters of the living God. I don't have some special intuition. God just gave me grace to understand certain things. It's not because I'm wise, because I'm not. God takes the foolishness of this world to foolishness of preaching to confound the wisdom of the wise. See, to the world this is foolishness, but to us it's the power of God unto salvation. See, it's that salvation that we need to look back to and draw from. It's that salvation that we should so long for, because Jesus saved us from a devil's hell. He changed us and saved us. And if there was no hell, we should still want to serve God with everything that we have, because He died for us. There's not a man that's died for you. There's not a woman that's died for you. There's not a boy or girl that's died for you, but Christ has died for you. That's the difference between the Christianity and all the other religions in the world. It's God seeking man. They're seeking God, but God came and sought us. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Turn with me. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures and we're going to go home if the Lord lets us. But I'm going to go into this because the Lord just said go to. He just wanted us to understand about His grace. Sometimes God will have a couple things go on. God's grace is sufficient, my brother and sister. It doesn't matter what you're going through. His grace is sufficient. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy. You know, we're living in a day where it seems like anything could go on in God's house. We're living in a day where we can just preach anything that we want to preach. I don't mean to be negative, and I don't mean to be, but I'm just going to preach good things to you, Brother Doug. I'm not going to talk about sin to you. I'm just going to preach good things to you, my brother, because I don't want to offend you, and I don't want you leaving my church. Hogwash. Hogwash. We got to take the whole counsel. This Bible talks about sin. It talks about righteousness. It talks about judgment to come. And we need all these things to stay on that straight and narrow. See, this way is straight and it's narrow, and few be there that find it. I'm convinced that there are many people in many churches that are still on their way to hell because they haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I mean, it's a terrible thing when, it's a horrible thing when we can allow certain things to come into the house of God. This place is to be dedicated and sanctified to the Lord and to the Lord only. We don't need rock and roll in the house of God. We don't need to take the weak and beggarly elements of the world and bring them into the house of God, because we don't take the profane things and try to make them holy, and we try to mix and it becomes an unholy mixture. You can't mix water and oil. You can't mix the world and Christ. You can't mix the holy with the unholy. We've got to have without holiness, the Bible says, we're not going to see the Lord. And I'm convinced that we've got to get holy again if we want to see a manifestation of the Spirit and power of God again. God's going to call us to holiness. And it's not a holiness that has a bunch of rules and a bunch of do's and don'ts. But there's going to be some things you won't do because you love God. There's going to be some things that you don't want to do because you love this man called Jesus. We won't have to have 20 things that we shouldn't do to be called a Christian, because we love Jesus. Not because of those do's and don'ts, but because we love Jesus and we know His grace is sufficient. And when we miss it, we can go to Him and say, Father, I missed it, forgive me. But there is a holiness that comes from the inside and it works to the outside. But it first starts on the inside. And it's very careful on what it watches. It's very careful on what it listens to. See, we've got the eye gate. There's an entrance to thy word giveth light, Father. And our eyes look on things, and that's an entrance way to the door of our heart. Our ears are an entrance way, my brother and sister. And too many times I hear people lightly, catechetically, kind of unknowingly just say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's not really a big deal. Well, yeah, it is a big deal. If what you're listening to is going to grieve the Spirit of God on the inside of you, if what you're watching is going to grieve the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and then you come to church and wonder why that flow isn't there that you so long for, it's because those things that you shouldn't have been watching that you were watching, God wants to convict you of, and God wants to bring you closer to Himself. God's calling His church back to Himself. Not a little bit to Himself, but all to way back home to Him. God's drawing His people back to Him. He's calling His people back to Him, my brother and sister. And it's grace that's going to bring us back. And it's grace that's going to lead us home. But God is looking for a people that will have no other gods but Him. I'm going to draw a plumb line in the sand tonight. If you're going to serve the Lord, serve the Lord. If you're going to live in the world, live in the world. But whatever you do, make your decision known and make it aloud. You either stand for the Lord or you don't. You either stand for God or you don't. You either stand for the world or you don't. If you stand in the world, you're against God. If you stand with Christ, you're against the world. Can't have no middle ground. Can't have no middle ground. Can't have it our way. This ain't Burger King. It's God's way or no way for me. For my house, it's God's way or no way. My family knows I'm the most imperfect person in the world, but it's God's way or no way. My kids know they got an imperfect daddy, but they got a daddy that wants to serve God. God had me do something that I struggled with for weeks and didn't tell nobody. Finally, I just did it. Sometimes you just got to do what God asks you to do. God wanted me to wash all my family's feet, my wife's feet, my son's feet, my daughter's feet. So I put some worship music on and went in and got a pot and some soap and some water. And I begin to wash their feet. I begin to minister unto them. I don't know why the Lord had me do that. I just did it because it took me about 2 weeks to do it, but I finally did it because I had to make sure it was God because, you know, we don't do those type of things in the 21st century. We don't have a basin and a towel. We don't, you know, you don't hear too much of that. You don't do that. But as I begin to do it, the Spirit of the Lord filled the house. My children begin to weep. I begin to weep. My wife began to weep, and we just had a holy time in the Lord. And I thought to myself, I repented of all of getting bad attitudes with him and being short with him and being impatient with him. But when I get overtired and hey, guess what? God is gracious. God is merciful, and God did a work that night. I'm telling you, God did a work that night because I obeyed God. God, and no one washed my feet, but it didn't matter. I knew I was pleasing God. I knew I had, because I was walking in obedience, it pleased the Father. And that meant more to me than falling out. That meant more to me than running an aisle. It's because I had the goodness and the gracious and the presence of the Father on my life. I had Him saying, that's my Son. And see, when we begin to obey this man called Jesus, and we begin to obey God the Father, then we can be His people, and He can be our God. But we've got to come out from among this world, my brother and sister, and it is time for us to be separate and live a segregated life, holy unto the Lord, and only unto the Lord. You see, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, pray, and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. See, we've got some wicked ways in us that we try to hide, that we try to mask when we come to church. But there's some wicked ways in all of us that God wants to fix, that God wants to change. And it's as we begin to pray for the nation and turn from our wicked ways, then God begins to answer our prayer. When we don't ask amiss to consume it upon ourselves, then God begins to answer our prayer. And not until then the nation can say of us, who has a God like their God? Because we have drawn close to the Lord. And we have turned from our wicked ways. We have turned from our evil ways. And we look only to the Lord. I believe in doctors. But too many times, I don't know the scripture for verbatim. But the gist of it is we go down and we look down to Egypt. And we go down and we look at other things instead of looking at God, and we look and get counsel from the Egyptian, and we get counsel from, and hey, we've got to go to doctors. I believe this is me. Y'all do what you want, but this is me, and I'm going to keep it this way. When I go to a doctor and they tell me something, I go home and pray. I don't get the prescription filled. I don't even take the medicine. I go home and pray. Ask my wife. I had high cholesterol. I just need to change the way I eat. I don't need to take no medicine. I didn't need to take no pill. And she goes, honey, you should really take those pills. And I said, honey, I love you. Please, when it comes to this, leave me alone. Let me be. I'm going to be myself when it comes to this. I'm just going to be me. And if I die, then I die. And you can tell everybody I was a fool. But if I don't die, then I'm not a fool. And praise God, I'm not dead yet. I'm just a straight talker, my brother and sister, because God is good and God is gracious. And if we got high cholesterol, it's because of the greasy foods that we eat. And nothing else. It ain't because we got something hereditary wrong with us. I looked at my doctor and said, I didn't say it, but I wanted to. You really believe that mess? You believe it's because of something hereditary? I don't. That's just me. I said, glory to God. I said to myself, you know what? The devil will try to tell you anything and make you believe it. Why? Because he's a liar and he's a maligner. And he wants us to not believe what the scripture says and not believe what the Bible says. But I'm telling you, I'm going to believe what the Word of God says, regardless of if you do or don't. And I know there's those of you in here that are going to believe, thank God. But if you don't, I'm believing, and I'm going to see God, the hand of God move because of it. We can't tell the world that Jesus is the answer. I can't get up here and preach to y'all Jesus is the answer and me go home and take a Prozac or a Xanax. I can't do it. I'd be a hypocrite. I'd be a hypocrite. I would. I can't say, Brother George, God's going to heal you, and then me go home and take a Prozac or a Xanax because I've got whatever kind of problems I got. I'm just being truthful. I'm being honest. And hey, I know that there's people that have taken them that are in ministry, but that doesn't make it right. That does not make it right. God is the answer, and He's the only answer. Just because I know a brother so-and-so down the road that he did the takes. It doesn't mean that it's right. Doesn't mean it's right. I'm sorry. Hey, God's word is God's word. We're either going to believe it or we're not. If we're not going to believe it, let's go home. Let's pack up the building and go home. But I'm going to believe God. That's just where I stand on Jesus wants to move, and we bind his hands and we tie his hands when we go and get counsel from other places. We tie the hand of God. We grieve the very Spirit of God. We do, my brother and sister. God heal me. And then we go to the doctor on Monday and take whatever he gives us to take. We can't have that old unholy mixture. We cannot have it, my brother and sister. I know I'm going to get a call on from the pastor. I'll be getting a phone call, but that's okay. Somebody's going to call and tell on me, but you know what? I don't care. I will stand on God's word. It doesn't matter who it is. I will stand on God's word. And many of you know that. I will pull out scripture upon scripture upon scripture upon scripture, because God is faithful. God is true. God is a very present help in the time of trouble. And too many times in trouble, we run to other places. We look to other things. But we don't look to God. We look to God as the last resort, as the last answer, when He should be the first answer, the first resort. He should be the first resort. Not the last, the first. God is so good. I don't know why I got off on that, but only God knows. Only God knows. We can't, my God in heaven, we can't mix the two. How many believe in healing? God heals, right? God heals? Then let's believe Him to heal. And hey, I know that you can. The other night I had a headache. I come home from work, I just had a headache. I couldn't get rid of it. And the wife goes, "You want me to get you some aspirin?" I said, "Honey, no, I don't want no aspirin. I don't want no aspirin. Pray for me. Pray for me." What's wrong with praying and laying your hands on the sick? Didn't the Bible say these signs shall follow them that believe? Didn't the Bible also say that Brother George will lay his hands on the sick and they shall recover? Now, I'm not saying that you're going to lay your hands on the sick. Sometimes it's going to be immediate. Sometimes it's going to be like that, but sometimes it's going to be a process. Once you pray, you've obeyed God. It's up to that person to receive. Thank you for the amen. It's up to, if I pray, if Doug comes to me, "Brother, I need prayer. I've got something wrong with me. And we pray, I'm clean because I did what the Word said. These signs shall follow them that believe. Lay your hands on the sick, cast out devils. That's what God told us to do as Christians. That's what He told us to do. That's what He told the apostles to do. That's what He told the 120 elders to do. And that's what we as Christians should be doing. We should be laying our hands on the sick. We should be seeing them recover. We should be casting out devils. We should be praising and leaping and praising God. If somebody comes in bound, we should see them leave free. But ultimately, it's up to that person. Free if you want to be, but you've got to want to be free. If somebody comes in bound and they want to be free, they can get free. Glory be to God. There's no devil in hell that can stop them from being free. Glory to God. There's no demon in hell that can stop them from being free and hold them in bondage. I've seen demons come out of people that laughed at me and said, "I'm not coming out," but they came out. Glory be to God. They came out in the front of my mom's house in the driveway, and they came out in a trailer. And when they left the trailer, they broke the window because they were mad and irritated, but I'm telling you that Jesus is alive, and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and He has all power and all glory belonging to the Son. But we don't look at Him as all power. We don't look at Him as all knowing. Why? Because we've got this mind that needs to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. It's got to be renewed in God's spirit. The mind has got to be renewed because we think of too many things and too many circumstances. We look at the natural instead of the supernatural. We've got to look at the supernatural. Glory be to God. It's the supernatural that moves. If somebody was bound in here tonight, they could go free. There's such a presence in here tonight. There's such a holy presence in here tonight. Why? Because there's some things that we just need to stand up on. Whether people accept us, receive us, like us, love us, or hate us, I'm going to declare that God is still a healer. I'm going to declare that you don't have to take Prozac. I'm going to declare that you don't have to take Xanax. I'm going to declare that God can heal everything that's wrong with you. He's a good God. He's a gracious God. Glory be to God, He's gracious. That... when you get into the medicine world, when you get into the medicine world, there's a spirit in the Greek called pharmakia, and it stands for pharmaceutical. Never before in the history of the world have we seen more drugs for everything than we see them for. We see them for bad kids. Every kid that you know has ADHD. So let's give them some Ritalin. That's the answer. Drug them. When the answer should be Jesus. We've got too many psychologists. We got too many Christians going to psychologists when they should be getting their counsel from the Holy Ghost. Oh, I know I'm standing alone now. I done stepped on some toes, but I don't care. I'm going to preach the Word. Paul told Timothy to preach the Word. Rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, that the man of God might be fully furnished, that you might be fully furnished, that you might be into every good work. See, this Word cuts, and it cuts that flesh off that we don't need. It cuts those things off that we don't need. And there are some things that we flat out don't need. We don't need the wisdom of this world, but we need the wisdom that comes from above. Where did that wisdom come from for all these drugs? It came straight from the pit of hell. You got a high blood pressure problem that your mama had? Come to the cross. Come to the cross and let God heal you. Throw the pills in the garbage. I'm just gonna. There is such a witness of the Spirit here. I'm telling you, there is such a witness of the Spirit here. God wants to move for His people, and you are God's people, and God wants to move for you. I don't care what it is you're going through. God wants to move for you. It doesn't matter if you felt like you can't make it. God is gonna raise you up. God is gonna lift you up with His everlasting arms. God is going to deliver you with His strong right hand. Glory be to God. And the arm of the Lord delivered the children of Israel, and He's going to deliver the children in Tampa. He's going to deliver the children in Lutz. He's going to deliver the children. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good, and God is the delivering God. His arm is not short that it cannot save. It is not short that it cannot save. God still saves. God still saves in this last days. God still saves today. God still wants to save. But some people don't want to be saved. It's a sad thing too. When God comes in His grace, when God comes in His mercy, and they reject the call of God. We've seen it time and time again. We've seen God come through His loving grace. Come through the gifts of the Spirit and say, I want to draw you close. I want to draw you close. I want to draw you close. I want to bring you closer to myself. I want to bring you closer to myself. And He doesn't. We reject that. Some people reject that call. Not all of us. Those of you that are here now, y'all are second milers. Y'all are hungry. And those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Bible says, you shall be filled. Call upon Him in the time of trouble. He's going to answer and say, here am I. He's going to answer and say, I'm right here. I'm with you always. I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. I'm right here. I know you feel storm-tossed and shipwrecked, but I'm right here with you. I'm going through the storm with you. And it's not so much Him going through the storm with you. It's Him carrying you through the storm. You're just in His arms, and He's carrying you through that storm that you're going through. That weakness, that temptation that you're going through, God is just carrying you through it. God is carrying you through it because He's a merciful and gracious God. He's merciful and gracious. He's not a browbeater, thank God. Thank God He's not a browbeater like we try to beat our kids sometimes. Thank God He doesn't try to beat them over the head. Thank God that when we're going through something and we don't understand, and thank God that He comes in love through a brother or a sister or through the Word of God. See, this is good news, my brother and sister. The Bible says, blessed are the feet that bring glad tidings of goodwill of peace toward man. Glory be to God. God is gracious. God is good. That was Jesus' whole purpose, is to save our old wretched hides, is to save us and to deliver us. God loves you with an everlasting love. I can't get into this. That's okay. That's okay. It's for another time. For another time. God is good and God is gracious. God is good and God is gracious. Stand to your feet. I'm done. Glory be to God. I want all the kids to come down front. All of them. All of them. Alyssa, Ashley, all of them to come down front. Tomorrow our kids in Pasco start school. Those of you that are in Hillsboro have already started. I don't know. The Spirit of the Lord just prompted me to do this because we're to fight for our sons and daughters. Bible says we should fight for our families, our houses, our lands, our sons and our daughters. You can give us some worship, brother. I just want worship to be playing, and I want you guys to just close your eyes, and I want you to just think about the Lord. I'm serious. I want y'all to close your eyes. But you know why? Because it says in the last days, perilous times are waxing worse and worse. There are people departing from the faith. There is a great falling away. But right in the midst of that great falling away, I will say this. There is a move of the Spirit of God that says, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And upon my hand servants and my men servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out my Spirit. Right in the midst of cataclysm of events, God's Spirit is moving. We see it moving in China. We see it moving in Australia. We see it moving in London. Well, my God in heaven, it can move right here tonight for these kids. It can move right here tonight for us because we are God's children. We are God's children, and I'm just going to pray a prayer over these kids, and I want y'all to come into agreement because the enemy hates our kids. The enemy hates this church, and he hates the kids in this church, and he's hated it for a long time, and I'm coming tonight to wage war. I'm coming tonight to do some battle for our kids and for our teenagers and for those that the next generation that this faith will be passed on to in a pure form, in a pure form. Father, I want to thank you for these kids. Father, I want to thank you that you love them. Father God, I want to thank you that you said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Suffer them, bring them to me. Let them sit on my lap, Father. You let all kinds of kids sit on your lap, Father. Oh, Father, Father God, this year, protect them, Father God. We come and stand in the gap and make up the hedge around them, Father God. In the name of Jesus. And those that have fallen away from you, draw them back by your Spirit, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father. Lord God, let your word begin to work in these kids, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father. Holy Spirit, I loose you to convict. Holy Spirit, I loose you to move, Father. Holy Spirit, I loose you to move in these kids' lives. In the name of Jesus, Father. Father, I thank you for touching these kids and letting them have an experience like they've never had before, Father, with the presence of God, Father. Father, I welcome your presence right now. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for touching these kids and letting them sense the Almighty. Letting them sense the Father God, Father. Lord God, we can tell them a lot of things, but when they meet the Master, when they meet the man, Father God, when His presence comes and touches their lives, Father, it doesn't matter what we say. They've had that encounter, Father God. They've had that experience, Father. And I pray for that, Father, in the name of Jesus, the Father, they would have that experience, that touch from you, Father God, that you would draw them into your bosom, Father. And I plead the precious blood of Jesus over them, Father God. I plead the precious blood of Jesus over them. Father God, we are your righteous children. I pray that you would grant unto these kids all wisdom, all learning, all knowledge in the name of Jesus. That you would give them favor with their teachers, their classmates. Father God, I thank you for doing this, Father. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen and amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. His rest. His rest. We run to and fro here and there. But it's His rest. Hallelujah. Thank you for these kids, Father. Thank you for touching them. Thank you for touching them.
cholesterol, and you know, and you see the ad on, you know, the ads on TV will convince you. Well, you know, it's because my mama's mama had it, and my daddy's daddy had it, and he had it, and she had it, and we had it. Now we all got it. Well, you know, that's baloney, and I don't believe that. Never have. I believe that when we're born again and we come into the household of God, I believe that. Not that it's a curse. I don't know if it's a curse or what, Sean, but I just believe that that's broken. We're now the children of God. We have access to God, and you know, God is our healer. He's our deliverer, and above all, he's our Savior. Praise the Lord. So, you know, and I want to pray for you tonight about your hearing because, you know, I know that your dad, you know, we've talked. You know, your dad was hard of hearing. Your mom was hard of hearing. Your sister's hard of hearing. You know, I just, I think it's time to stop. And I'm not putting you down when I say I just think it's time for us to just it's time to quit confessing about my mama had this and that and other. You know, I believe God will heal you, and I believe he'll heal you tonight. And if he doesn't, praise the Lord. You know, and I know you've suffered with this, and it's affected, you know, it's affected you at work. It's just affected your style of life, period. You know, you can't hear, and I'm standing with my brother because I agree with what he said tonight, and I believe we all do. Amen. And I believe that God will move. Right now, in the name of Jesus. So I'm just going to, you anoint with oil, brother. I'm going to lay my hands. Father God, Lord, we just come to you tonight, Lord, because, Lord, we know who you are, Lord. And Lord, we don't believe in these things that now that we're the children of God, Lord, we don't believe these things are just passed on to us, Lord. I declare that those things are broken, Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord. And Lord, I only come, Lord, because I believe you and I trust in you. I know that your word is true, Lord God. So, Father, we just speak to the inner core of these ears, Lord. We don't have to know what the problem is, Father God, but we know that you know, Father God, and that you're well able, Lord, to heal my wife, my sister, Lord, your daughter, Lord. So, Father, we speak to the ear, Lord. And, Father, we speak to the Father that these ears, whatever, if there's an obstruction, Lord, we ask you to break it and dissolve it, Lord. Father, we pray that she would begin to heal, to hear clearer, Lord, than she ever has before, Lord. Father, starting right now at 7:55, Lord, on August, in this day in August, Father God, we declare victory. We declare your healing, Lord. Hallelujah. We declare this flow, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For your glory and for your honor this day, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. Oh, you just stand. You stand on that. Hallelujah. Just get up every morning. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Lord, we just stand on it, Father God, and that, Father, Lord, it's better right now, Father God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you. Well, praise the Lord.
You know what? I'm glad you said that because the Bible says, beware lest there be a root of bitterness get up in you and spring up in you and trouble you. You see, if it troubles you and you come up for prayer and you're wrong with your brother or your sister, guess what? God's not going to hear you. You've got to leave your gift here at the altar and go and make your right with your brother and sister and then come back to the altar and ask God to heal you and ask God to touch you. But God's going to touch Patty tonight. He's already touched her. God's going to touch Sister Lynn. God is going to heal this arthritis because he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Father, I thank you for my sister, Father God. I thank you. The healing is the children's blood. I've come and I've come to claim the covenant, Father God. I rebuke this arthritis in the name of Jesus. And I can dry up and go in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you and I praise you for doing it, Father God. This is your daughter. This is your servant, Father God. And Father, I thank you for doing it, Father. Not by might nor by power, Father, but by your spirit, Father.
thank you for doing it, Father. And Lord, we stand in the gap for her son, Father. In the name of Jesus. We stand in the gap for her son. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for bringing him in, Father. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for salvation coming to Mark Frazier in the name of Jesus. We claim his soul for the gospel of Jesus Christ, Father. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for their desire to just draw close to you, crawl up in your lap, sit on your lap, and let your love on Father. Oh, she did it in the moon, the Yasata, the Nabu, the Yata, made it of a who shunned it of a Hassan, the Nabu, shunned it in Yanda, made it of a who shunned it of a Hassan, the Nabu, shunned it in Yanda. Father, their desire is to let the rocks that are in there stop in the wells of salvation from flowing, Father. They want those rocks freed, Father God. This is a wonderful place, Father God, because it allows you to work. It allows you to move. It allows you to touch. It allows you to free. It allows you to flow, Father God. And Lord, there are people they come across every day that you want to flow to, Father God. And Lord God, I pray that in the name of Jesus that they would fall upon the rock, the everlasting rock, Father. The rock, Father God, that's delivered them. The rock, Father God, that saved them. And that rock is you, Father God. Father, I pray that they would fall on that rock, and when they fall on that rock, those rocks and those their wells would begin to break, Father, and the Spirit of God would begin to gush out of them like a mighty river, Father God. Lord, I want to thank you, and I want to praise you for it, Father God. I want to thank you for their desire, Father, to be obedient to the heavenly vision, Father God. I want to thank you for their desire, Father, to draw close to you, Father God. Lord God, take this desire, take their lives, and use them for your glory, Father. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come here. I'm going to pray tonight. You're not taking it no more. I'm not doing this to embarrass you. I'm not doing it for any other thing. But that hormonal imbalance that you have is leaving tonight. I'm the priest of my home. I'm the head of my house. I'm the husband of my wife, and I'm going to lay my hands on you, and God is going to heal you, because George just stirred something up in me, because God wants to move for his people. This is a covenant that is ours. It's rightfully so. If I was a billionaire, if I had an inheritance, and I let you go,
he bought all
before we do that, I feel impressed to say this because, you know, we've all come up in the church and we've been in the church and we saw the moving of God's Spirit where we were slain in the Spirit. Now the moving of God's Spirit is where we're going to lay prostrate and cry holy. That's the next wave of God's moving. That's the next wave of God's Spirit is, yes, God refreshed us. Yes, God touched us and we were slain under the great power of the Holy Ghost. But now the next wave and the next move is us laying prostrate before Him at His feet, crying, holy, worthy, holy is the Lamb. Because see, when we get prostrate before Him like that, everything else fades away. Everything else fades away. We've seen the glitter. We've seen the glamour. But now, see, when we're on that our face before Him, we see nothing but our own sin. We see nothing but our own failures. And we let Him cleanse them. We let Him heal us. And we let, what's keeping y'all here? It's not me. It's the Spirit of the living God. We're hungering for that we should be hungering for. We're hungry for His presence. We're hungry for His movings. We're hungry for His Spirit. And we get the reports back that these people were healed, and we get the documentation. I'm going to tell you, it's going to stir something in some people. Some people are going to not want to stay home on Sunday nights because they're going to be afraid that they're going to miss something. I'm telling you, they're going to be afraid that they're going to miss the moving of God's Spirit. It's not because of anything other than God loves each and every one of you and each and every one of us. It's because God loves us and God wants to move for us because we have a covenant.
Testimony, Lord, unto you, Lord.